Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has within the blessed month of Ramadan, He has instilled His special hikmah, His wisdom, and Allah ta'ala has given His fadl and His blessings and His grace to all of us. And the special grace of Allah and the hikmah of Allah in Ramadan is this, that this month of Ramadan, what does it do? It totally refreshes and revitalizes the life for everybody. Everybody's deen, way of life is revitalized. All of the sectors of Ramadan, all of the branches of Ramadan, all of the subjects, all of the parts of our life are refreshed, re-energized, revitalized. During the year, we become maybe negligent or lazy, or we forget things or don't emphasize on important points, or we ignore aspects of Islam. So in this month of Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala has instilled a speciality, special effect, that every single part of our life, every single part of the deen of Ramadan, it doesn't just touch on it, it refreshes it and re-energizes it for the year to come, for the whole year to come. An excellent effect. And if we see, for example, an important part of Islam is salah, namaz, prayer, and how Ramadan makes us attentive and aware of salah. Everyone starts to pray salah. Masjids are mashallah full. In the morning masjid full, dhuhr time masjid full, isha time masjid is full. We go to Jummah, there's no place to stand. And normally the masjid is empty other times of the year. So every insan, every human being has this feeling and emotion and strength and passion that Ramadan comes to remind us that in Islam, for a Muslim, what is the relationship with Salah? And when that person remembers that link and the importance of Salah, that this is the importance of Ramadan. And this is the importance of Ramadan with our deen and Ramadan with Salah. And many people start to pray Salah. And they get refreshed and they get re-energized. And in the same way, we can apply this to all of the other aspects of deen, tilawah of Quran, recitation of Quran. Ramadan reminds us that we as Muslims have a link, a connection with the Quran. So the Muslim, he understands that we have a deep link with the Quran. And Ramadan, it gives us an excellent opportunity, just like we connect with Salah, just like normal days. A person doesn't even attend Fard Salah in the masjid, but when a person understands Ramadan has come, Barakah, reminder, Deen, what's my link with Salah? What's my link with Deen? So a person starts to then pray voluntary prayer, Nawafil, and many Nawafil upon Nawafil Salah a person prays. In the same way, a person, when he understands that Ramadan's come to remind me, the passions arise and a person reads more Quran and sometimes completes many times over the Quran. Same way, Zakah, Sadaqah, charity, every part of deen, Ramadan refreshes, revitalizes, re-energizes our deen. In the same way, there's another important part of Islam, sector of Islam, factor of Islam, which is akhlaqiyat, our behavior, mannerisms and conduct. And Ramadan touches on this and refreshes this aspect and strengthens this aspect. And in one, you can say, gust, one wave, Ramadan refreshes all the parts of our deen and explains to us what we should be doing. So this month of Ramadan tells us, Allah Ta'ala says, that we remember Salah and Quran, Sadaqat and Zakah in this month. This month really is the month where we should be sympathetic and care for other people. This is what this month is coming to remind us of this point. It is telling us that the duty of a Muslim, what link does a Muslim have with society, with human beings? How should we be with people? How should we behave with others? Very important ritual, ibadah, act of worship, action we can call it. This is a very important pillar of Islam that we today have discarded to a big extent. Ramadan has told us that Ramadan is for this reason. It came for this reason to teach us to care for and have regard and sympathy for others. Very clear message of Ramadan. Clear message. Not just this, but we should have care for and sympathy for Muslims. No, with people around us, human beings, and everyone's included in people, Muslim and non-Muslim, white man and black man, a religious person, non-religious person. We don't look at these things. We don't look at creed or color or race. So it's been told to us, Ramadan is teaching us for a Muslim in society, in the world, what relationship we should be having with people. Subhanallah, what a big point. What a big learning. What a big teaching. This is not some sort of just blind track that, oh, Ramadan came to teach us salah and fasting. No. No. Ramadan teaches us how to live in the world. How am I with other people? What's my relationship with other people? If I call myself a Muslim, then how is my relationship with the human beings around me? What does Ramadan teach us about this? What does Islam teach us about this? If we are weak on this, if there's negligence, or we're off track, or we're misguided, or we're weak on the amal of practice of social intercourse, then Allah says, come back to the right path. Come back. Ramadan's come to remind you. Come back. So for us, this is today a very important pillar, important practice, especially for those people who live in a society where there are people who belong to different cultures, different religions, different backgrounds, different races. Then this teaching is essential, moreover, for those people, for us, to know this knowledge, to understand this knowledge. And here the words that have been utilized, let's hear that. To have sympathy, to care for others, to have regard for others, to help others. Not just how you shake your hands, oh hello, how are you, fine, little smirk and a smile and you walk off. No, deep relationship, we've been explained. Deep link. Or that you take someone's hand, oh yes, he's of this religion, oh no, I don't want to know this person, he's dirty or impure. That Islam has taught us a very high level point. To have gham, care, regard, to feel in your heart for other people. What a big point here. So what is the implementation of this? That, for example, may not happen that somebody's mother becomes ill, and then you see the hal of that person, how bad he feels, that he has sympathy, not sympathy, but hurt in the heart, pain. Pain for the mother. So the same words come, that this person has pain in regard for his mother. So this is the word that's been used, that this relationship, which is higher and greater than the blood relations, that a person who is a non-Muslim, who is not related to your religion, you have to have the same regard for that person. So Ramadan's coming to refresh our minds. Ramadan, Quran, fasting, and zakah we're giving, and sadaqat, and charity. So do we wipe away and hide this action? The most important pillar of Islam, akhlaqiyat, the manner, behavior, conduct, behavior in society. A Muslim becomes a Muslim when he's akhlaq. A person prays salah when he's got akhlaq. A person is a Sufi when he has akhlaq. A wali of Allah is made when he has akhlaq, conduct, good manners. So leave all the deeds first and foremost. What will be looked upon a person is your batin, your internal self, your inner soul. That is this person good? Is he a good human being? Does he care for people? And you could have the signs of prostration on your forehead, but if your akhlaq is dirty, impure, and negative, if your conduct and manners are poor, then it doesn't matter if you've got the signs on your ankles that this person prostrates and sits in tashahud, etc. No link with the deen. He's just worshipping for himself. He's not worshipping for Allah the way that Allah Ta'ala wants. So this is such a high grade level for a Muslim to understand his relationship with human beings in society. If I'm a Muslim, alhamdulillah, then a big responsibility has been given to me. A big burden, heavy burden that I have to distribute and practice. If Allah Ta'ala sends me to a culture where I'm living with people from other religions, other faiths, then I have to see that how deeply Islam explains to me that I have to regard for society around me, whoever it is. Whoever it is, if somebody is short of money, help that person. If somebody is ill, assist them in their sickness. If somebody has a shortage of clothes, give that person clothes to wear. Whatever shortage, problem, distress, difficulty, worry, distress a person has, then it becomes fard, compulsory on a Muslim to at least think for that person, plan for that person, assist to that person. And this is the education and the teaching of Islam for one Muslim. And each and every Muslim in the world. And if this is the teaching of Islam, this is the ta'aleem, this is the education. After that, people are hitting others, killing others, paining others. And they say, I'm doing this for the sake of Islam. Then what will we say? Subhanallah. That apart from this person following his desires, all we can say is, person, A, B, C, you don't have knowledge of Islam. You are misguided. You've just taken the name of Islam and you are incorrectly implementing your misguided thoughts. So if a foolish person who doesn't have good manners in the world for others, and we say that he's misguided, then how can a person who's violent and hurts others be a person who's acting in the name of Islam? Brothers, I'm just telling you a hadith. There's not enough time. Otherwise, this is a big topic. They're just a normal person in the world. If he wants to know what is Islam, I want to learn about Islam, he won't look at Salah, Quran. First, he would look that these people who call themselves Muslims, how are they in relation to other people in the world, society? So suddenly for us to throw down the bully, oh, Islam has done this, or Muslims have done this, and it's violence. Rather, we should say that this name that the person has got, a Muslim name, it cannot be for this reason. Never can in a thousand years can this person be a Muslim, because he has implemented. Never can this person say he's living in the name of Islam. Totally is deceived that he's gone against the name of Allah and Rasulullah. So we have to research what is the reason behind this. Why is this person kept him a Muslim's name? Why does he call himself a Muslim? This is a logical point. That the ta'aleem, the education, because Ramadan has come to revitalize us, re-energize us, make us remember Islam has a strong link with anybody in society. All people of society, whoever they are, that wherever we live in the world, we have to be sympathetic, care for others, have regard for others. Not just say, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum salam. Hello, how are you? Fine, smile. Are you okay? Walk off. No, go deeper than that. Go beneath the layers. The person who has hurt and pain and distress and issues, we need to take them on board. Don't look at what religion he's from, or background he's from, or which race he's from, which country he's from. We have no link with that. This is the teaching of Islam. We have to practice it. And the person who practices this is a Muslim. The person who doesn't practice this is not a Muslim, because he has no practice of the teachings of Islam. Now, as I said, this is a big topic, big meaning to this, depth. I can give you one example that how Islam teaches us from where it comes and where it goes to put light on this point that I've just mentioned, that a Muslim, if he lives in a society, how should he behave amongst other people? How should he behave with other people, with those who don't believe or don't are not Muslims or are from different faiths? How should a Muslim live in such a society? What does Islam teach us? How does it explain to us to live? So this point here, Islam explains to us deeply, clearly. After this, there can be no doubt that what is the status of a Muslim in society and how he should behave and react with other people. Now, in Ma'ashara, in society, the first thing that Islam took hold of that no one else has remembered is the neighbor, the rights of the neighbor. Can we see any bigger example of this? Never. That you obviously know that we are all neighbors. Somebody will be your neighbor and you will be the neighbor of somebody else. So if we see, how can I learn that to have sympathy and care for other people? What example is there that teaches me? So Allah Ta'ala grabs hold of a great example that no Muslim will be left without the knowledge that he needs to live his life, that with a non-Muslim or people in the world, if we don't have a good relationship, then we cannot be worthy of saying that we are Muslims. So where does Islam teaches us this? How? Allah Ta'ala doesn't go far. Allah Ta'ala doesn't go to a distant. Allah says, just look next to you, your neighbor. In hadith, it is stated the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam so much explained to us and taught us about the rights of neighbors that we should be left in no doubt. The Sahaba Ikram said that we were afraid that maybe will they be included in the inheritance laws? And Allah Ta'ala said that Jibreel, Rasulullah SAW said that Jibreel alayhi salam reminded me, where did Jibreel come from? Where would he come from? Whose instruction would he bring? Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Jibreel alayhi salam, and he taught us the principles of the rights of neighbors about society, that doesn't matter who is your neighbor, what is his belief and his iman and his practice, that's between me and your neighbor. Leave that. But you, how do you live with your neighbors? How should you be with your neighbors? You should live in such a way that if your neighbor is there next to you and his rights, Allah Ta'ala says, I will precisely explain to you the rights of the neighbor. And if you don't implement them, then you will be at a loss. Now tell me, if I'm living and next to me there's a neighbor, next door to me, next to my house, then what hukum is being given to me? What order? What explanation? If I want to be a Muslim and if I want to earn paradise, then what is the hukum? What is the right of my neighbor upon me? Remember, my friends, we have to live like this. Are we living like this? Yes. Have we ever practiced these points? We have to practice these points. Totally, in this same way. Man kana, this hadith has told us, man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir, the words of the hadith, that if a person has belief in Allah, in other words Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the akhirah, and the hereafter, and has iman, then that person will have to have good relations with his neighbor. will have to have give good treatment to his neighbor. So is there any permission here for hitting and beating people and killing people? After this hadith, we learn this and read this, the muhaddithin, the scholars have done the commentary of this hadith, and they say that three learnings are extracted from this hadith, or come from this hadith, that this becomes part of a man, to have good relations with the neighbors, to give good treatment to the neighbors. Number one principle is that this is part of a man. Number two is a condition of going into paradise. If you want to go into paradise, then condition is that you have to treat your neighbors well. Number three, this is the basis of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So can we leave this action? Good relations with the neighbors. And who's being told this? A Muslim, to treat his neighbors properly. So what about the rest of society then? In other places, how do I have to go? If I go to watch a cricket match, then will I go and throw a bomb there? If I go to another place, will I commit oppression? Dhulam? If I have to 100% compulsory treat my neighbors nicely, fairly, then when I go beyond that into society, I've got more rights on the people that I have to fulfill. Say subhanallah, subhanallah. So this is the condition of iman, juz of iman. The condition of Jannah, condition of paradise, and the basis of Allah and His Rasul Sallam, their rules, that your neighbor, whoever is he, what color, background, how do we have to treat them? Nicely, fairly, beautifully, in a good way. And there's another definition of what is good treatment of the neighbors. Rasulullah Sallam told us even further in detail what is good treatment of neighbors. That if your neighbor has a debt, help him to overcome the debt. Subhanallah. If your neighbor is ill, then make a pact or make an intention that you will help. If that person has a difficulty, then help that person to take the difficulty far. And if a person has good news, then go and give congratulations to your neighbors. Go and give congratulations. And further, let's hear what a great explanation depth that, remember, you are a Muslim, and your neighbor, he could be maybe a non-Muslim, different faith. So for you, oh Muslim, if you can't do this, that you are not even allowed to increase the height of your house over and above the neighbor. May not be that you do this and then the wind stops coming to the house of your neighbor or fresh air, then you will not be a Muslim. You will not be able to go into paradise. And this part of the iman will finish. So tell me, can such a person do dhulm on society? If he's following these rules and principles on other people, is there any permission? Is there permission? And if it is said that this person is Muslim, then we'll say that what are these people? They don't know about Islam. They are ignorant. Or there's some other point we don't know. Allah knows best. Yes? So if they are not doing this with their neighbors, then they are ignorant. They don't know about Islam. That there's no reason or no permission for enmity, for hatred. There's no concept of dhulm or oppression to people in society. My friends, we have to worry about ourselves, that before Salah I have to say, this is Allah's hukum on my neighbors, on society. Yes. Has Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, a person went to him and he said that the worker of Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar, he was slaughtering the sheep and taking the skin off. When he was taking the skin off the sheep, then Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu said that, look, when the skin is taken off, then don't take it home. He's telling him, straight away, what do you do, my neighbor? Go and give him this. And Hazrat Mujahid radiallahu anhu said that, do you know who your neighbor is? He said, yes, I know who my neighbor is. He said, maybe you don't know that you're sending the skin of the sheep to him. He's a Jew. And then he looked at me with surprise and said, don't you know that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with regards to the neighbor, gave hukam, an order, and he warned us and warned us and warned us so strongly that we became afraid that maybe we have to give our inheritance or the money that we leave behind also to the neighbors. To save your iman, we have to give the rights to the people. And this is the amal of the Muslims. The action of the Muslims. Never has Allah Ta'ala said to us that, oh, you can discriminate against other people if they're not Muslims. No, there's no link of this thought to Islam. Allah Ta'ala hasn't given us glasses or telescope that look to that person, pierce it, and look into his heart, what's his belief? No. If the person's got difficulty, take away the person's difficulty. If the person's got to worry, take away his worry. Person's in a bad situation, condition, even if somebody's doing bad or a bad action or adultery, your neighbor, then beware. Don't go and tell anybody else about the bad actions of your neighbor. Put the veil on that person's sins, your neighbor. As Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, ajib hadith he presented on this subject, and he stated that that individual, in no way can he enter into paradise, in no way, if that person's neighbor is having difficulty and problems from that person. No way can that person, for example, you are listening to the radio, high volume, and your neighbor is upset, then you cannot go into paradise. You are giving difficulty to your neighbor. In the night, it's time to sleep, tuck, tuck, and you're banging the walls. No religion has gone deep in the rights to the neighbors. I'm not telling you about the rights to the parents. That's beyond. That's even more depth. I'm talking about not the relations between Muslim and Muslim. I'm telling you about the rights of neighbors, even those people if they're not Muslims. So what we realize here, that there's no discrimination in Islam in no way and form. Humanity comes first. Humanity, the rules of humanity, human being relations come first. And the person who doesn't have this iman, who doesn't have this yaqeen, then that person doesn't have Quran. Doesn't understand the teaching of Quran, and he is not belonging to the understanding of Islam. He has not understood the message of Allah Ta'ala and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is the point we need to learn, that this month, Shahr al-Ramadan, this month has come to refresh us, to remind us, to tell us who's living near to you, who's close to you, who's your neighbor, how are they living, go and meet them, your neighbor, his car's not starting, you leave home, and then you start your car and drive off, and that person's struggling there to start his car. I remember once, I don't know where I had to go, and it was important for me. I had my car. I had a model. It was a 03 Morrison, old car, and a very old car, you could say run down, knackered. But alhamdulillah, very good car, very good car. It would take me to a lot of places, and I traveled a lot with that car. But it would start according to its desire. When it wanted to start, it start. If it didn't start, it wouldn't start. Then I had to do dhamm on the car. I had to put the taweez there and blow on the car. Then it would start and go. And I travelled far with the car. I remember that car, blue colour Morrison. And I bought it for £50. £50, alhamdulillah, when I passed my test. So brothers, I left home and I had to go to an important venue. I think I had an interview or something, an important event. And there were other cars parked around me. Other nice cars. Somebody had this car. Somebody had this car, a Volvo. Somebody had a Mercedes. And my car was in between, my princess, mashallah, it would shine and sparkle. Now that day, it was fussing, it wouldn't let me go to the interview, wouldn't start, and he said, I don't want to start up today, and I tried to press all the buttons. I knew the different parts and the different components, maybe if I do this or turn this or etc., but it didn't answer any of my questions. And I'm looking around, is there anyone who can help me, give me a push so I can do a push start, jump start? Nobody came, and I'm hinting to people, can you come help me? I remember this point, no, I have to go somewhere, sorry, I'm busy. I'm telling you about our own people who wouldn't assist, our own people. Then from far, a person was coming, somebody who lived here, one of the locals, and he said, what's happened? I said, I have to go to interview, my car's not starting, the car's not starting. So he left what he was doing, and he said, okay, I'll push your car myself, and he helped me and pushed the car, and I jump-started the car. So where did these people learn this akhlaq? That today we don't have this akhlaq. 40 years, I have not forgotten this event. I still remember this event. Why in my heart is the appreciation for that person? Definitely Islam is such a deen, a religion, a faith that it touches on this point. If somebody has pain, difficulty, and you help that person's pain to go far, remove that, alleviate the person's pain, then that person will never forget that. So Allah Ta'ala says that when you assist somebody and help that person to get his difficulty far from him, then don't think you have, if you don't think you haven't done something important, you've made Allah happy. And if that person's a mu'min, a Muslim, he'll remember you always in your dua. And even today, my habit is, I tell you, my life habit is that whenever I do a wazifa, an action, or dhikr, or a deed, or read Quran, if I don't say, Allah, this thawab, the reward for this deed I've done, give it to all those people who helped me in the times of need when I had difficulty, whoever it was, Allah, give the thawab to those people. Subhanallah. This is the haqq of that person. They have rights upon me. Rights. Do we say this? Do we do this dua? We don't do this. So Islam is reminding us. Ramadan is reminding us. These are maybe so-called small points, but Islam is a great deen. It teaches us a great lesson. And I have yaqeen, my dua will assist here in this regard. I have yaqeen that we keep on asking duas for ourselves. If I tell you what my duas are, you'll be amazed, you'll be shocked. You think that I'm doing duas for myself all 2 hours, I've got my hands up and I'm asking for myself. No, but the direction of my dua, the vision, where is the dua going, who's it being asked for? With such a tariqah, I bring Allah to my side. Understand what I'm saying? There are many ways and methods I've got. That time that I could do for asking dua for myself, I say, Allah, why don't I please Allah with that point? Allah Ta'ala says, if you ask or you don't ask, but you have pleased me. Subhanallah. So you should have tactics and ways and methods. There are ways to please Allah, my brothers. There are ways. There are methods. So this is a very big point we need to understand. So anyway, this was important, the opportunities, and it's Ramadan, the teaching, and today we are surrounded with circumstances and problems, and we need to speak, but I don't speak over, you can say, useless topics, but this is a very important topic, essential topic. Ramadan reminds us this, that these are the relationships we should have with people around us. So if we are lacking this, we are weak in this, we could be weak on this, but we shouldn't make such a big mistake, that astaghfirullah, that blood and hitting people, paining people, and destroying countries and societies and cities? Is this revenge? Is this the way to act? Is this the way to explain to people when you have a problem mentally or you have an issue? No, wrong. Ramadan, and in the month of Ramadan, imagine this. Is Ramadan telling us this? Ramadan says you cannot go into paradise, you cannot detain Allah's nearness, you cannot please Allah, you cannot every man if you pain your neighbor. And here today people, they are committing excess and oppression against the whole world. My brothers, this is wrong. Let's do dua that Allah Ta'ala allows us to practice Islam, and those people who dishonor and disrespect Islam, may Allah Ta'ala bring them to questioning. May Allah Ta'ala account for them. May Allah Ta'ala elevate Islam. May Allah Ta'ala elevate the standard of Islam. May Allah Ta'ala elevate the glory of Islam. The glory of Islam. Remember, if there's a flag or a standard, and when it's elevated and it rises up high, there's a standard, a mast, a pole, and one person is holding that pole. So if a person is great, then the pole will be high, tall, and the flag will rise tall and wave tall. So Rasulullah ﷺ would give the standard and the pole and the flag to that person who had the capability, and Rasulullah ﷺ knew that the deen is great and this person will elevate that deen. So we have to elevate the deen of Islam. How? When we have good relations and good character and manners and behavior, and we develop that, due to which Islam will be elevated, my friends. And this is called Sufism. This is called purification. We have to become human beings like this. A person who purifies himself, elevates himself spiritually, internally. We have to bring the character into our lives, the manners into our lives. Allah has given us this standard that we call ourselves Sufi and we do dhikr. When Allah has given us this standard and example and responsibility, then to elevate Islam, then we need to bring the special qualities of Islam into our lives. We have to develop these. Those qualities should come to us. Those behaviors should come into us. The manners and the conduct that we can elevate Islam. So alhamdulillah, on the day of Qiyamah, Allah Ta'ala will say that these are those people who elevated the flag, the standard of Islam. So remember, never lose out due to your character. Never lose out due to character. Maybe you'll be weak in ibadah, worship, praying. You may become weak. Maybe there'll be a difference in what there should be and what there is. But may Allah Ta'ala have mercy. But there are many other chances to worship again. But one practice we should grab with firmness and strongly, akhlaq, good manners, character, education of behavior and manners, and social intercourse that practically the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us and told us, that how should we be with our neighbors? How should we be with people who are around us? That those neighbors that used to swear at the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, used to throw rubbish on him and thorns and nettles on him in his path, who would send curses on him, and when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would go past their house, they would throw rubbish on him from above. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went to their house and knocked on the door, that you haven't thrown rubbish on me for a few days. Are you okay? Are you well? Are you ill? And that woman would scream from inside and said, is this that same man that was throwing rubbish on? And the Prophet ﷺ said, I've just come to ask you, that why didn't you throw the rubbish on me? Maybe you are still my enemy, you hate me, but you are ill, and I've come to ask you, that my Rabb has given me an order that asked for your neighbors. And I don't care what religion you are, or what background you are, what faith. So if the Prophet ﷺ has given us these teachings, then every second of my life should demonstrate these teachings. Why have we forgotten this today? Why? Where has our akhlaq gone? Our manners. If somebody oppresses us, does dhulam on us, and says bad to us, fine, let them to that extent, that limit. The Islam says, tell us, don't take revenge on them. And if there's a tariqah of how to answer that oppression, then that's a different method that Allah Ta'ala has given to us, not what we do today. So may Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. We do dua, let's do dua in Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala is teaching us these things, and we have to learn other things as well. But let's grab hold of this action as well, that our neighbors and the people in society around us, we should care for them, have sympathy for them, and have worry for them, and also have concern for them. So we need to see, maybe we can bear and withstand the problems, but the neighbor, we should help them. Hazrat Junaid Baghdadi or some other sheikh, I'm telling you about Sufis, the great walis of Allah, the great Muslims. And in his house, there were rats or mice. And you know, mice, they pester people when they come in the house. It's difficult. Maybe by chance you will have had that experience. Then they eat and devour the food. They come out from corners, and in the night they wander around. They're dirty and impure. And so somebody saw that in Hazrat's house, there are a lot of mice or rats. He said, yeah, there's a lot of mice and rats in your house. He said, yes, there are. He said, okay, give me permission. I've got a cat, good cat. And when the cat comes into the house, the mice and the rat will run away. Should I bring it to your house so they can go? He said, no, don't bring the cat. He said, why? He said, for this reason, if you bring the cat here, yes, for sure, the rats and the mice will run away. But where will they go? They will run to my neighbor's house. And I don't want that I transfer the dhulam, the problem, to my neighbor, that I can bear this difficulty myself. He said, Hazrat, but your neighbor's a Jew. He said, I know that he's a Jew, but he is my neighbor. And he has rights upon me, big rights upon me. So he's an insane human being, and I don't want that ever due to me I give difficulty to someone else. I don't need the cat, that let the rats and the mice come and eat my food or whatever, give difficulty. So are we Sufis like this? Are we Muslims like this? We should be like this. Care for others, have regard for others. And if we don't elevate our akhlaq and our manners and keep it on a higher level, and then we don't bring the quality into life, then forget about Sufi, we're not even Muslims. The hadith is telling us that a person has not entered Islam correctly, properly. May Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq, the ability to understand and practice. Ameen.